Good morning, Shady Shores Baptist Church and all others that are watching. We are grateful that we can worship together today. We're really interested in the fact that we can't come to church because of the virus. But we have the privilege of being invited into your home today to worship with you. We're grateful for that. I also have a question about the voting for the transition team. Ballots will be, if you haven't received them, you will receive enough. There's plenty of ballots. You've got plenty of time to fill them out. The question was, if somebody serves on the transition team, can they be on the pastor search committee? Absolutely yes. Everyone is a good prospect for that committee that will be several months down the road before we elect it, but we will elect that committee. I'm just glad you are here. Welcome. We're going to have a song service and a preaching service. So just sit back and worship God with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that today our country and our world is under attack. We also realize that the little virus that is causing so much upheaval is difficult for us to understand, but we know that you're in charge. And I pray, Heavenly Father, today for all of our first responders, for all of our doctors and medical staff that are working so hard to help people with this difficult time and difficult disease. I pray, Heavenly Father, for the safety of our church and for the safety of all who watch. Follow God wherever He goes and trust Him every way that we can. Help us, Heavenly Father, to realize that you love us and your power is far above anything that we have. Help us put our faith in you, in Christ's name. Amen. Today we're going to study from the book of Job, a man who had everything you could ever want. He had it. Let's read the first two, three verses. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had seven sons and three daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. He was the greatest man among all the people in the East. As we look at this scripture today, we're going to find some very serious things about what happens when life falls apart. If you could ask God one question, what would that question be? Barna put out a study that asked a lot of people that question. What one question do you think most people wanted to know about? God, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? That was the question that they needed an answer. It is a perplexing subject, but it is a subject that is really important when we talk about the pain of the world, the pain that we experience. Look at Job. Here's a man who had everything, but in a matter of moments, he lost his wealth. He lost all 10 of his children. He lost his health. His sympathetic friends came with terrible advice. And then his wife turned her back on him reluctantly, but wanted him out of all the pain that he had. The thing that we've got to remember is that God is with you in the worst times of your life. He is with you in the worst times of your life. I'll tell you the truth. Life is hard, but God is good. We've got to remember that. We've got to hold on to this. Life is hard, but God is good. We need to sail with that. We need to sell it. But there are some things that we need to acknowledge today as we look at this study. This thing about Job. You know, bad things happen to good people. That's a cliche. We hear that all the time. But life is hard. God is good. Bad things happen to good people. You notice the first thing that the Bible says about Job? The first thing is that he was a good man. He was a good man that God trusted. The devil thought he could take him out. God said, no, you can't. Matthew 5:45, it says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. If the righteous were to be exempted from all this pain, wonder how many people would be motivated to join us without the worry of knowing Christ? I bet the world would flock to us if that's the case. A lot of people would just simply say, I'm going to do my best to be good in order to not get hurt. Nothing, this is the second thing, nothing bad will occur without God's permission. Some terrible events, some painful experiences in life are Satan's attacks. He really is like a hungry lion roaring, seeking from someone to be devoured. That's just the way it is. Sometimes God allows that to happen. Sometimes the world can cause the suffering. We are filled with it today. Our world is falling apart because of a virus. And you'll notice, no matter where you look, everybody's concerned about it. Everybody's worried. But you've got to realize that God allows that to happen. The world can cause us to just by nature itself, can cause us to suffer. Gravity is not always your friend. Did you know that? As a baby, if you notice babies, they just love to overcome gravity so they can stand and walk. But then when you get to be my age, you have to be very careful because gravity will throw you to the floor. You don't want that to happen. Gravity is just part of who we are, what we have to learn to live with. Sometimes we are at fault ourselves for bad things that happen to us. I spent many years taking college kids, families, young people, to Colorado to ski. I remember one year we were skiing in Winter Park, and there is a wonderful slope that you can see when you're sitting at the cafe. You can look over there and see Derailer. Now that name ought to be scary enough. But I had two young girls that had grown up in our church, and they were skiing, and they wanted me to take them down Derailer. I should have known better and said, no, thank you, because I'd only been down that slope once before, and it nearly killed me. These girls just decided they were going to go, and I thought I'd better be there just in case their parents lose them, because they could lose them on that hill. They would fall about every 20 feet, and I was dragging them down the hill trying to get them up. Constantly and forever. We had a beautiful run down for about 300 yards, and then suddenly there was a sign, caution, cliff area. That ought to be a warning. But it was too hard to turn around and go back. So we kept going down that hill, and it took all morning to get down that hill. Don't know how we got down there in one piece, but we did it to our own selves. It's amazing how many times we look at the trouble we have and don't realize we did it to ourselves. We can be guilty of that. Sometimes there's not any reason for it at all. Sometimes you'll never be able to find out what the reason is for the trouble. You just won't ever be able to do that. But realize this, God is fully aware. He is absolutely aware of your suffering. He is absolutely aware of that, and he will not allow you to suffer more than you can endure. Period. Scriptural. That's the way it is. God will be there for you. He will care for you. You need to trust him in all that happens. Why does God allow some to suffer? Suffering, why not just make it easy for us? Scripture says over and over, he does this in order to mature us or to test us. Sometimes we need to learn to appreciate what Christ endured. Sometimes it's the ability for us, when we've gone through, to be able to comfort others. There's a wonderful little poem that says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. Ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned the day that sorrow walked with me. Sometimes we just have to learn how to live in that area, because if you look at what God did, he gave Satan limited permission, strictly limited permission to attack Job. And it was for all the reasons that we just listed above. Well, the key, whenever you look at this, the key is worship. The key to endurance is worship. Job expressed that completely. Job's life started to completely fall apart. He was a very wealthy man, and within minutes, he lost everything from his life and everything that he had ever accumulated. He came from being the wealthiest to a penniless man. There's a wonderful old song that many of you will remember from way back. I know I'd go from rags to riches. Well, we could sing that song for this, but I go from riches to rags. That's what happened to him. And even though Job grieved, he worshiped God. He did not shake his fist at God, and he didn't curse him as Satan had predicted that he would. He did not. His attitude was, everything I have belongs to God anyway. I am still going to trust him. I'm still going to trust him. May the name of the Lord God be praised. Period. It would be wonderful in our lives when things tumble around us and our life crumbles, if we could come to a place of worshiping and literally recognize, may the name of the Lord be praised. In the good and the bad, God needs to be praised. Today we are experiencing the bad. But you know, this bad is not as bad as some other bads. It's not the only time that these things have happened. It's just kind of strange for us. But we need to praise God anyhow. And that's the reason that we're here this morning. And then I want to make this point. Your experience is not unique. You might think it is. Everybody says, oh, nobody suffers any more than I have. Well, Job's story was not yet finished. Just when it seemed it couldn't get any worse, it did. And it kept getting worse and worse. Satan isn't all-knowing, though. He doesn't have all that knowledge. He can't see everything. And you know what he did? I like this point. He played his trump card too soon. He played his trump card way too soon. How in the world can you hurt a person any more than taking the children? That's the worst thing in your life that could happen. Parents should never have to bury a child. Happens. this case, he had to bury every one of his children. What a hard time. The devil had done everything that he could. But you know, you can't hurt any more than when you have your children taken. Satan had attacked Job's body, broke out into sores and boils to his head, down to his toes, everywhere. He was really hurting. His friends came and gave him advice, terrible advice. And then his wife reluctantly turned on him also. I don't know how you could live through that, but you do. And you learn to live through it, and it is very difficult when you do. I want to make this for sure. Your suffering, I don't care how bad it is, your suffering is no worse than Job's. Your suffering is not unique to you. That's what's really interesting for all of us. There's always someone worse. Always. No matter how bad you have it, someone else will have it worse who will be able to keep the faith and praise God. In the many years that I have been in ministry, I have walked the last days of life with a lot of people. And I've watched, I remember one lady, she knew she was taking some horrible treatments, one every 3 days. That was all that was keeping her alive. She finally got to a place where she said, I'd rather be in heaven. And she refused her treatment, and in 3 days she died. But she never cursed God. Her faith was always in God. I remember my first year preaching and ministering. There was a man who had a terrible disease. Well, I don't know what it was, but he was running out of anything for treatment. And when they got down to that last treatment and his body started rejecting it, the doctors gave him a very short time to live. I remember he called his family into his room one at a time. He witnessed to them. He told them how good God was, and they needed to trust God and believe God and be faithful to God. Every member of his family before he died. There are a lot of people who do that, and they don't lose their faith. They praise God right to the end. I'll tell you another thing. We shouldn't get too comfortable here. This is our world. Sometimes we love our world. Boy, we've got a lot of gadgets. We have a lot of things that are so important to us. We just get so filled up on it. But don't get too comfortable here. I love the song. I don't know that it made it out of the Broadman hymnal, but it was great. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? That just speaks to me. And I think that it says to us, don't get too comfortable here. If heaven's not my home, Lord, what would I do? Heaven is our home. Heaven is real. And no matter how much we suffer in this life, we have a life ahead. I love what it says about heaven in Revelation. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. For the former things are passed away. We have a great future in front of us that we didn't earn. We have a great future in front of us, not only that we didn't earn, but it was given to us freely. This is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. And if we will receive Jesus as our personal Savior, I guarantee you, the suffering may get hard, but heaven is real, and we'll be there. During this time when our lives are falling apart, I want to be praying for you. I want you to know that we are personally involved in your relationship, since this is Shady Shores Baptist Church. We are concerned for you. But more than that, we pray that heaven is your home and you will see beyond this life. I'd like for us to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you have done. Bless us this day as we worship you. In Christ's name, amen.